Welcome, everybody. I want to read a verse to you in the book of Daniel here in just a moment. The Bible talks about 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city. That's Daniel chapter 9. We'll be discussing Daniel 9 in today's program. Doc is here. Let me just say this. Daniel 9 is considered the most important chapter possibly in the entire Bible as it relates to prophecy. If you're going to understand prophecy and the book of Revelation, you need not only the book of Daniel, but especially Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 through verse 27 are so important. We're going to look at Daniel chapter 9 in today's program. I think you're going to find it very helpful. All right, so the music's going to come on, and so you get your glass of water, you get some popcorn, whatever you need. Call your neighbors, tell them, hey, Brother Goodwin and Dr. Hillbill are on. Get your TV on or share it. I'll share the YouTube video if you're watching on YouTube. And we'll be right back. Welcome, everybody. Glad to have you with us today. Daniel chapter 9. If you've got a Bible, open it up. We're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 9. We may finish. We may get it all done in one session. We'll just see how it goes. We want you to understand some important things about the book of Daniel chapter 9. We've done, of course, I have my Daniel study guide here, and it's brand new. Many of you have ordered it, and if you have not yet, go to the website, Prophecy in the Spotlight. You can order it there or call the 800 number and they'll help you with that. And so before we do that, Doc, we're coming to that time again where the some of the bills are coming due, and we want to just make it known to our partners out there and those of you who support us financially now and then. This would be a good time to write a check and help us out if you can, or call the 800 number and can donate over the phone. And look, if we're not asking you to take your food money, we would never ask you to do that. And if you're strapped, if you're barely making it, we wouldn't want you to do anything. We're here to help you. And but there are folks out there that love us, and there are folks that come through for us every 3 months and help us get over that hump. And that's what we need today.
Amen.
We sure could use a couple of years to write $1,000 check or donate. And to keep us on there, we're on a lot of networks now, and we need your help, okay? That's all we want to say about that. Don, let me finish my little paragraph here that I started the show with. In almost every seminary or Bible college, when they teach prophecy, especially Revelation, almost always it's Daniel and Revelation. They never just teach Revelation. You really gotta intertwine the two there.
Yes.
And they're taught together. They're like peanut butter and jelly. I'm getting hungry just thinking. You know how long it's been since I've had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? It's been a long time.
Not me.
And I like but Daniel and Revelation are kind of like peanut butter and jelly. They go together. And but it's a challenge to grasp Daniel 9. It's the jewel of all prophecy chapters. And it's a challenge for many to grasp, and we want to It's filled with strange terms like weeks of years, cut off, has a lot of timelines and some visions explained. And sad to say, a lot of preachers have ignored it and have stayed away because they don't understand it.
Well, it gives you actually God's timeline for Israel in their relationship with full restoration, which brings you to the millennial reign.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. I know you have two or three slides that you're going to share on the program about the 70 weeks and what it means. So to start the chapter off, Daniel 9, verse 1 says, in the first year of Darius. So we know the timeline here. Yeah. This is the beginning of the Persian Empire, the Medes and the Persians. And this is near the end, by the way, of the seven-year captivity, or in fact, it probably is the end.
Well, they've been in captivity almost 70 years at this time.
Yeah.
And no doubt Daniel has already studied out what Jeremiah had already said.
And right here in chapter 9, verse 2 and 3 is what it says. I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years. Yeah. He's probably talking about the book of Jeremiah.
Yeah, he's doing the math and he realized, wow, we're here. What's next?
Yep, the word of the Lord that came unto Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth. In other words, Daniel found out, hey, 7 years is how long it's going to last. And he looked at his calendar, whatever calendar he had, his sundial, whatever. And he said, hey, we're there. That's now. So he began to pray about this. God, what are we supposed to do? The 70 years is up. All the way to verse 19 here, you'll see God speaking to him here. And you'll see Daniel's prayer. And so let's move on a little further here.
When we get to chapter 10, we'll get a little more added information about those 21 days.
The spiritual warfare.
We'll get that chapter 10.
Daniel is pleading with God to forgive Judah for their rebellion and their sin. Remember, this is Israel, but it's specifically Judah, the two tribes there. The other tribes are up.
But they still represent Israel. Yep. Because his northern kingdoms had already been taken to captivity, but under the captivity Babylonians, that's still all been amalgamated.
So verses 20 to 23, and we're moving kind of fast through the beginning here because we want to get to the prophetic part here. In verse 20 to 23, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication, my begging before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation or sacrifice. He informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding.
Yeah.
And so this is the angel Gabriel comes. He's going to explain to Daniel about the 70 weeks. And that's where we get here. The angel Gabriel came to Daniel to grant him understanding and wisdom. He gave Daniel one of the most important passages of Scripture, or I should say one of the most important pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah.
He gives to Daniel concerning prophecy. And that leads us to Daniel 9, verse 24 through 27. In just a second, Doc, I'm going to turn this over to you. Let me just read just a little bit of this. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Who's Daniel's people? Obviously, Daniel's people are the Jews, right?
Yes.
70 weeks to turn upon thy people and upon thy holy city, in case you didn't get what he just said. Talking about Jerusalem.
Yeah.
To finish, and he gives six things here, to finish the transgression, make an end of sins, I won't read all those because you're gonna have that in the slide. It goes all the way down through verse 27 here. The main theme of these four verses are this, the 70 weeks, and that's the theme of the entire chapter.
It is.
70 weeks. These weeks are literally weeks of years, seven-year periods. Mm-hmm. And by the way, they're sabbatical cycles is what they are.
That's true. But,
weeks of years, as we see from the context. Each week represents 7 years. 70 weeks equals about a total of 490 years. Remember, Jacob worked 7 years for each of his wives, Rachel and Leah. The Bible says in Genesis 29, fulfill her week. That's 7 years. God is letting us know a week is 7 years.
Right.
Speaking of that. So these weeks deal with Israel, not the church. In verse 24, we see the 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city. Mm-hmm. This is to the Jews. The people are the Jews, the holy city is Jerusalem. We need to get this settled right from the beginning. The church is not the subject of the 70 weeks. Israel is the subject of the 70 weeks, and these 70 weeks are turned upon him. So I give here the purpose of the 70 weeks, and I'm going to turn this part over to you, Doc.
Well, this is this chapter kind of sticks out all by itself. When you look at the entire book of Daniel like we're studying. Almost all the rest of it, even though it has something to do with Israel, he's talking about all these Gentile kingdoms that's going to happen and some of the events that are going to take place and all of that. But when you get to this portion, it's about Israel, and that's who it's about here.
Yeah.
You've already touched on the fact that that you can put that first slide up if you want. You've touched on the fact that this is something that has to do with Israel. He said 70 weeks, or we know now it's 490 years, as you said, are determined, and it's obvious who it's determined on, Israel and the city of Jerusalem. It is not the church. The church was not here, was not a part of the first 483 years, and the church is not going to be a part of the last 7 years, because the entire, putting the 483 that's already accomplished and the seven yet to go together, has to do with Israel. So for the crowd that says we're going to go part of the way through the tribulation, is they missed this very point. The entire 490 years has to do with Israel and Jerusalem. And so the church wasn't a part of the first 483, and it's not going to be a part of the last seven. And if you notice on the slide, there are six purposes, and the Lord made it clear. He had Daniel to pin it down. He said, they are determined upon thy holy city, and then he gives six reasons. He says to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. That's exactly what he did in his first coming. But he did not notice the next three. He said, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. Well, it is everlasting righteousness that's been established, but it's not until you get to the millennial reign that it will be righteousness that rules mm-hmm. the world. And then he said, and to seal up the vision of the prophecy, to bring a completeness, a finish yep. for the plan, and to anoint the most holy. Now, there are different ideas as to what it means, this holy. Some say it's to anoint him as king. That would certainly fit. To anoint the temple for the millennial reign, I guess that would fit. But it is certain that the first three were accomplished in his first coming, and the last three will be accomplished in his second coming. Okay. I think that's pretty clear. Yeah.
And I put a big heading here, that very thing. The first three were fulfilled at his first coming. The last three will be fulfilled
yes.
at his second coming. And I asked this question. Have you ever asked yourself why there needs to be a seven-year tribulation? I used to ask that question.
Well, you know, this is where I think, back to my comments about the church in relationship to this, a lot of people use the term tribulation, and it is a time of tribulation. But they fail to realize that the tribulation period we talk about in the book of Revelation is the 70th week of Daniel.
Yeah.
So it is not church age related in that sense.
So here is the answer. The tribulation is the final week of the 70 weeks
yes.
that are appointed.
Exactly.
It's part of that 490 years, and as you just said.
And in that shift, of course, he gives us, in verse 24 and 5, he gives us the breakdown of those first 69 weeks, and the 7 and the 49, and when you put it together, it's 483 years.
Yeah.
And we can go back and look at the storyline that we have in the book of history, so in the life of Ezra and then in the book of Nehemiah. You find those divisions, and then you come to the cutoff point, which was what we call today Palm Sunday, when they cut off their Messiah, just exactly like yep. Daniel said it was going to happen.
And that's the being cut off. That's what that's talking about.
That was cut off. In other words, that was the same day that they were, Nisan 10, that they were to cut out of their flock the lamb that was going to be their Passover lamb. And that's exactly what Daniel said they would do concerning their Messiah.
I wrote here, the purpose of all 70 weeks of years is to put a final end of sin, bring reconciliation, bring mm-hmm. fulfillment of God's prophecy, bring in righteousness, anoint the Lord Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm just adding live a little bit to those six things. And begin the reign of Christ during a thousand-year millennium.
Absolutely.
These 70 weeks are also about redeeming the planet. Man's spirit is redeemed at salvation. Our bodies will be redeemed at the rapture, and which is the main harvest. And the earth will be redeemed during the tribulation when the seven-sealed book, entitled Deeds of the Planet, is opened. Revelation 5:1. All these things are part of the purpose of the 70 weeks. Now, let me share real quickly the divisions here, because it's very confusing even to preachers when they read this passage, because it's 70 weeks, but then he breaks it into different periods.
Absolutely.
For instance, the first 7 weeks is 49 years. So there's 7 weeks. Then so there's 49 years, then there's 434 years, and then there's the 7 years. Mm-hmm. You add them up, it's 490 years. It's interesting, Doc. 69 of 70 weeks have already been fulfilled. When Christ was cut off, that was the end of the 69th week.
Yes.
And a good sermon title is, there's 1 week left.
Yes.
That's the tribulation. And the first 49-year period is interesting. Why is that separated out? Well, I wrote this. The first 7 weeks, 49 years, took place in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. That's the building of the temple and the wall. Mm-hmm. You know, isn't it interesting, 49, that's the number of years, and then the Jubilee begins the 50th year.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's more to that first part than meets the eye here. I think there's some study needed to look at this and see if there's not more here. And, of course, there is. There's a reason he separated this like he did to help us see something.
Absolutely.
There's almost like a jubilee period there with the building of the temple and the walls. And then the next period of 434 years, which, by the way, goes right into the silent, what we call the silent years. They're not so silent, are they?
They're not silent, because we'll see when we get to chapters 10, 11, and 12.
That's right.
God had already given them the things that were going to take place. Yep. Yes.
And 49 years, Ezra and Nehemiah, the building of the temple, the walls around the city. The next 62 weeks, or 434 years, took place from the building of the wall in Nehemiah until Christ is cut off at Calvary.
And that's very interesting. In order to get an understanding of those breakdowns, you've got to go back to the book of Ezra and to the book of Nehemiah. Yep. And you find, when you study history, you realize there were four actual decrees involved. But each one of the last three decrees always went back to the first one that Cyrus made to rebuild Jerusalem.
And so, let's see, this leaves 1 week. So you get the 49 years, the 434 years, and then the 7 years. And that one's still hanging out there. That has not been fulfilled. There's absolutely no doubt about that. 1 week is left, the 7 years. It has to, like you said, all 70 of these weeks has to do with Israel.
And God does everything exactly. We've got another. Put up that next one there, if you will.
Oh, that's right. You've got some more slides.
Yeah, we've got some more. when you get to that 70th week that you just now mentioned, one more thing I want to add to you mentioning reasons for it. One of the main reasons for the 70th week for Israel is to have a remnant of believing Jews for the millennial reign. Mm. And but in that 70th week, we find a little different change here in verse 27, because he talks about, he here is, we now know from the study of chapters 11 and 12, we understand that the he here in that 70th year, 70th week, is talking about the Antichrist.
That's right.
He's the one that's going to confirm the covenant. And notice I've got it highlighted, the covenant. You're going to find only your King James Bible has the covenant. Everybody else has got different things. Some of them, everybody's looking for a peace treaty and always looking for something other than just taking your Bible literal, the covenant. I believe Abraham's covenant, because this is something to do with the Middle East, has to do with the descendants of Esau, or not necessarily Esau, but between Isaac and Ishmael. And this is the Abrahamic covenant.
Yeah.
And so this is where it's at. Now look at the next slide. And because God does everything exactly on time and on purpose, God's never sat down and thought, Now, what should I do next?
Mm-hmm.
God's already got this thing planned down. And people say, well, how do you know it's going to be exactly 2,620 days, 2,500 days? How are you going to know that it's exactly 7 years? Well, 7 years by the calendar that we use is different than 7 years in the calendar that the Jews use, because we have 365 days. They got
54.
And so every 4 years we have a leap day, and every third year they have a leap month.
Yeah.
And so how do you justify this all? And so when you take the decree from Cyrus, and you realize there's three other decrees that's going to be passed, because in Nehemiah's day they're going to have to go back and get another decree made. Because of the charges that were brought up against them. And each one of those succeeding kings always looked back into the history and found the first one from Cyrus and said, it was a decree, it's still a decree. And so when you put it together, you realize that from that day to the day they cut Christ off, we call Palm Sunday, the fulfillment of what the Bible had said would happen, was exactly 173,880 days. I mean, it's right to the T. And it doesn't matter how you add the leap days in for the Jewish calendar, or the leap months, or the leap years with a single day every 4 years, you come up with the same time frame.
Hmm.
And it's an amazing thing how God is precise in what he's doing. And I can tell you the last 7 years are going to be an exact. When we've discussed this already before on our show, our program, that when God said he's going to shorten the days, doesn't mean he's taking any days off the calendar. He's just shortening the length of a day.
Yeah.
Because a day is the evening and the morning. And so when you realize, you can put that down now if you want, when you realize that God's decree for Israel was an exact time.
Yeah.
He's fulfilled the first 483 years to the exact day. He is going to fulfill the last 7 years to the exact day.
I wrote this in the book here. One of the reasons we're confused about the dating of the calendar today is because we mark the start of the New Testament at the birth of Christ instead of at his death. That's an obvious flaw.
Yeah.
You know, the death of Christ is when the veil in the temple is rent in
right.
two. The church age will be over after the 483. The church age is going to begin at the end of the 483rd year.
Right.
And the 70th week is hanging out there. And when the rapture happens, the church is relocated to heaven for the marriage supper.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jews are dealt with during the tribulation
right.
period.
And God uses the end of the 70th week to bring the end of the Gentile rule,
yeah.
which is what you talked about a while ago.
Christ coming, yeah.
That stone cut without hand to destroy that Gentile kingdom,
yeah.
establishing the millennial reign with that remnant of the Jews, as well as a remnant of Gentiles
yeah.
that'll survive this judgment.
So what does this mean to us, folks? It means this, what I wrote here on the bottom of page 129. The 70th week will begin at the rapture. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, and this 70th week will be in 242-month, 1260-day
yes.
periods.
Yes.
And I wrote here, it's not in the book, but I added it down here in pen, there's no gap here.
No.
I don't believe there's a gap.
I don't. Well, God demonstrated an exact time, and if there is a gap, it's a gap between the 483rd and and the last seven.
There's a 2,000-year gap there.
There's a parenthesis yeah. inserted into
yeah.
it, but that hasn't anything to do with the actual narrative and its purpose.
When the rapture happens, there can be no gap. I don't understand why people have a hard time with it.
I don't either.
Where would you put that time? I mean, there's going to be 6,000 years. You have to put that time somewhere.
Well, God has done everything exact on purpose and on time and to the day. Why would he select this one thing to change? Since he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
God's pattern is, I've got an exact. Yep. So why would on this one situation he have something different? Right. No,
so
he doesn't.
At the rapture, we're taken to heaven to the marriage supper.
Yes.
And we finish out the final 7 years there.
And when that resistance, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, when that rapture takes place, that resistance of the Holy Spirit is removed, and the Antichrist now takes on the scene. Yep. And he does exactly what he says in 9:27. He's going to confirm the covenant, yep. And that starts the counting again.
I believe the rapture will happen on Tishri 1, on God's calendar, and not necessarily yep. ours. At exactly 6 p.m. Jewish time, Jerusalem time, the same day Stephen was killed. And I believe that's when the clock stopped for Israel.
It's very possible.
And I believe the 2,000 years started right there. And I think it's got to start back where it ended, mm-hmm. exactly, right to the second. That's the only way you get a perfect 6,000-year timeline.
And God's done everything else exactly
no gap
on
theory
time.
In Genesis and no gap theory nope. in Revelation.
That's right.
And, well, we've only got a couple minutes left, Doc. There's a few other things we could look at, but I've got a whole section here, the midst of the week. There's so much that happens
yes.
in the midst of the week. But let's just look at a couple of lessons here in the 2 minutes we have. The 70th week of Daniel 9 is the 7-year tribulation. That's real simple.
Yes.
Number two, the tribulation, 70th week, is for Israel. It's not about us. We will not
Absolutely.
Be here. We'll be eating cake and ice cream at that marriage supper up there.
And I hope it'll be that, but in our place today.
I'm going to be trying to get ahead of you in line to get my cake. Number four, Daniel's 70th week begins right after the rapture, or right at the rapture, with the signing of the covenant with Israel. In other yes. words, I believe it's the Antichrist declaring that property belongs to the Jews.
Yes, and I think that's where this third temple that everybody's talking about is going to come be involved. I think this red heifer situation, all of this that we're seeing, Matt, we got to be getting close to this time, Daniel.
And by the way, folks, I've done some live streams on our YouTube channel. If you're watching YouTube, click on the live button up there, find it. Find there's three or four videos I did called Trump, King Cyrus is Trump or as Trump, something like that. There's some interesting parallels between mm-hmm. King Cyrus and Donald Trump.
Yes.
I believe just as King Cyrus gave them their land back, gave them their temple, I believe Donald Trump, you watch. I believe Donald Trump's going to be used to bring about the beginnings of the founding of the foundation of the new temple.
And we're not saying he's the Antichrist.
No,
I don't believe that's
not.
The case. But I can see some people in the wings that could easily step in yeah. and be that Antichrist.
I believe the next man in line, or later on down the chain, the Antichrist is going to use what Donald Trump sets up.
Yes.
Doc, in the last 20 seconds, what do the people need to understand?
Well, you need to understand everything is falling in place for Daniel 9:27 to happen. That means the rapture must be soon. If you're watching us today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, you need to understand God loves you. You can't do anything to change your destination because Christ has already done it for you. You just got to place your faith and trust in what Jesus has done, and you can go to heaven.
And until next time, keep your eyes on them skies. Hey, thanks for watching our regularly scheduled program. We are a viewer-supported program, and if you'd like to partner with us to help keep us on the air, we would appreciate it.
Well, you can call either our 800 number. It's on the screen there, and donate if you'd like, because we sure could use the help. We're a donor-supported ministry.
Yeah. And the website's right there on the screen. The phone number's scrolling on the bottom there. And $5, $25, $10,000, yeah. whatever.
Well, we've been on, going around 4 years, I guess.
Almost five, Doc. June will be 5 years.
And we've made it this far on the donations of God's people.
We're on nationwide on different networks. And if you don't know how to find us, contact us. We can get you a brochure. We're on a lot of networks nationwide, CTN, VTN, all kinds of different ones. Of course, we're here on BBS Radio as well. And we appreciate each and every one of you. We hope you're enjoying the content that we bring.
Right.
If you haven't noticed, we are prophecy people.
Yes, and we're old-fashioned Bible prophecy. We're not chasing illegal aliens. We're not chasing aliens and fallen angels and spaceships. We're just trying to follow the guidelines of the Word of God.
That's right. Old-fashioned Bible prophecy. And, well, some of you have been watching us for quite a while already. You know what we are. And we try to put it right on the bottom shelf for you.
Yes.
Okay? So, listen. Partner with us. Pray for us. Yes. Pray for the ministry here. And get involved if you can. We'd love to hear from some of you. Contact us. Send us an email. Send us a text message. Call. We'd love to hear from you. All right. Well, stay tuned for one of the shows from our archives coming right up. Greetings, everybody. This week, we're going to be discussing the topic 2023 in review. Looking back on 2023, Doc is in the studio. We've got some things we're going to share with you that happened this year, 2023. Some shocking things, some prophetic things, and some things that you need to be aware of. So stay tuned. And welcome, everybody, to this special edition of Prophecy in the Spotlight. We're going to look back. Instead of looking forward like we so often do with prophecy, we're going to look back at the year 2023, and we're going to find some things there that I think are going to be eye-opening for us. Doc, you got a verse for us. Let's start off with that. We was wondering, what do we read in the Bible about going back in the past?
Well, there is a lot in the Bible about time.
Yeah.
And, of course, in Ecclesiastes, Solomon said in chapter 3, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Then he lists a long list of things that are time to start and time to stop. And, I think it'd be good for us to maybe look back a little bit on 23 and see, how in the world did we get to where we are today?
Now, Doc, you're older than me, but I'm telling you, they say the older you get, the faster it goes.
Merci.
And I must be getting old. I must be catching up to you because this year flew by.
It's
gone.
Terribly fast, yes.
And you look back and at the things that we've lived through, especially since 2020.
Yes.
Or even 2016.
2020 made a major change the world.
Definitely a focal point where things really accelerated. Yep. And so you and I discussed this a few weeks back. We said, let's do a show about what happened in 2023. Mm-hmm. And then let's do a show, which we're going to do next week, on what's coming
what
in 2024.
What's coming in 24.
And I can't wait to get to that. But it's a little bit exhausting to think about could be coming.
And of course, we talked about it. Then I sat down at the computer in my home office and began working on some thoughts. And, oh, my, there's a lot of things that we could really talk about from this year.
Well, so you've got a list. I've got a list. Some of them are redundant, I think.
Sure.
But I think we really quite a few of them, we kind of went our own way like we usually do, and you had some different things than I had, and I'm sure we overlapped a little bit. But so let's take some time now and just let me just give the first little tidbit that I've got on my list. Yeah. The World Health Organization, 2023 is, I just learned this, I didn't know this, it is the 75th anniversary of the founding of the World Health Organization.
Well, I would say I already knew that, but it's only because you told me before the show.
I told you before the show.
I did not.
But I didn't know until earlier today or last night, and I was shocked.
It's amazing the things that came out of the end of World War II.
So doesn't that mean that 1948
would
have been
that.
The founding? Because Israel's 75 years old.
Yes.
So it would have to be around
many
the same
organizations
time.
and events that started at the end of World War II are now coming into big fruition in our time.
Yeah. And I could read to the viewers, I could read a blog that I've got about the World Health Organization.
Because that is one of the things that we need to see in retrospect.
But they were talking about, as I read it, they were talking about the great need and what's going on and how important what they're doing is to save mankind. And I thought, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We don't trust you people to look after our best interests. It isn't their job
it's
to decide.
It's not our best interest. It's their interest.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that thing that we can't talk about on the air to this day,
because
you get thrown off.
I read an article, not just one, but I read more than one article from two different sources that in their own statements, they have plans between the year 2020 and the year 2030 to be able to handle 10 pandemics.
Yep. And they said there'll be another one coming for sure,
sure.
We got to be ready for it because mankind depends on us.
And now they want to give them the control internationally
to shut countries down, states
over
down,
nationals,
force vaccinations.
Yes, everything. Yeah.
See, the World Health Organization turned 75 this year, but they've done a terrible job. They haven't helped mankind. Now, maybe in the early years they did.
But they're working lockstep with the World Economic Forum and all the elites.
I'll tell you it's stuff we can't talk about here. The pharmaceuticals.
That's it.
That's where all the money's at. You watch the news sometime. Watch CNN. I don't recommend this, folks. Don't try this at home.
Yeah.
Watch CNN and MSNBC. Watch the commercials. They're almost all pharmaceuticals.
You can't even watch a sports game.
Yeah.
Except you've got sports people up there promoting some of this stuff.
And so it's huge amounts of money.
They're dropping over like flies from IRC.
Yeah. Well,
we're going to get off that. So
we could be the whole show.
Don't get kicked off of YouTube.
We could be the whole show just talking about that. But so, Doc, what do you got there?
Well, first of all, I'm seeing this year a tremendous rise in anti-Semitism and anti-Christianity. It's at fever pitch. It's not just in America. It's all over the world. And since the outbreak of the war in Israel with Hamas, it's unreal.
Yeah. And I had that on my list.
You can't even have a president of a university that can make a statement against anti-Semitism.
I wrote on mine, the first thing I wrote for 2023 was war in Israel.
Yeah.
Now, they've always been in battles, but this is different now. October 7th, I believe it was.
Yes.
A day that will live in infamy.
Oh, yes.
I mean, a tragic, tragic day. These people they're monsters. That's what they are.
I've studied it just like you have, and I find some things that are very troubling that led up to that day that we'll not go into here.
Yeah.
Very troubling. But Hamas has been it's not just in Israel. They're faction, because Hamas is a part of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah.
They're a faction of that. And right here, even in America and in all the Western Empire, you have their segments raising money, wearing their suits like you and I. They're raising money for that purpose over there. And so what took place? Atrocity, terrible.
Yeah.
And truly, Hamas has to be dealt with. But the anti-Semitism that's coming from this, we've already watched it. At the beginning, a lot of people said, oh, yeah, terrible, go after them. And then it wasn't long until the propaganda machine began showing this picture and telling that lie. And this lie on top of that lie, and here you have the greater majority of the world is now, just like the Bible says, Israel in the end times is going to be all alone.
Yeah.
And that's about where they are.
Yeah, it sure is. And it seems like more and more countries around the globe are declaring their non-allegiance to the Jews, to Israel.
And, of course, you would expect the UN to be what they have done in all of their attempts. They do not and will not and have not and never will condemn Hamas.
but they're going to condemn Israel for whatever they're trying to do.
Look how fast they jumped on that hospital.
Oh,
I mean that was the bad guy's own bomb that fell on the hospital or near it, and it, right away all the news people were saying that Israel did that, and it was a lie.
But you can expect all of the Islamic countries and those that are involved in Islam in any way, you're going to expect them to do what they're doing. They're siding with, they call it the Palestinian movement. It is not, there is no Palestinian nation. There is not.
Yeah. Remember they talked about the hostage swap. There's no such thing. Israel doesn't have hostages. So
they have prisoners.
That's right. So they're talking about swapping hostages.
The terms that they use.
Yeah. Why would the news media use that?
Because they're complicit in all of this.
Yeah. So they think Israel has some prisoners that they shouldn't have. No, Israel's got wicked, vile people who have killed little babies and kids and blown up buildings and.
But that's just one of the things. As we look back, you can see what's happened here at the end of this year. I believe, Dan, that it's very greatly possible that what we're watching is Psalms 83 unfolding.
I wrote down increased hype in this thing we call the UFO stuff.
Oh, my.
And I love Tucker Carlson, and I'm on record with that. I follow him. I like most of what he says, almost all of what he says.
I don't think he'd make a great vice president. I think he's more powerful on the outside
than
he would be on the inside.
That remains to be seen. And but I have one issue with Tucker, and I wish somebody would get a word to Tucker Carlson. I would love to sit down and talk to him. I'd be willing to come on the show and record something. I think I could give him the other side of the UFO thing. I wrote a booklet here. I don't know where it is. Here it is. Called The UFOs, Truth or Fable, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. True or False. Yeah, Truth or Fable. It's not a big book. It's 24 simple pages. And I explain what I believe the UFOs really are.
Well, they are unidentified objects.
Yeah. Yeah, but sometimes that means it's a trash can blowing in the wind. Yeah. Or the illustration you used earlier about, maybe it was off the air, we were talking about the lady standing there saying she was afraid to turn around. It was
They had made the Seattle Tower
to look like a UFO.
And then all of a sudden they changed the aperture of the phone or the camera, and there was the whole thing.
Yeah.
With artificial intelligence, folks, you need to understand, you're not going to be able to believe half of the things you see in the media.
Yeah.
No. They make it whatever.
And it's already happening. There are commercials I'm seeing all over Facebook, and they're not real. They're using somebody's voice and everything, but it's not them. And they're selling stuff.
Well, even Putin yesterday or day before, he had his end of the year conference that he has with all of the reporters. Of course, they're all his cronies, and he had it fixed up where somebody used his picture, and they were talking through his picture, and he was talking to himself.
Yeah.
So, folks, I'm telling you, the UFO thing is a part of the end time deception. And the closer we get to the end, then the more this is going to be a tool.
And we're going to talk more about this next week in 2024, because I believe, well, I don't want to get into it because we'll get caught up, but I believe the UFO mania has grown quite a bit
in
2023.
Year, they released pictures, quote unquote, from the military and from the archive, all of this.
Grainy, you can't see nothing.
But it is becoming a thing.
And folks, if you get my little booklet, and everything's on sale at the bookstore, by the way, at ProtestantSpotlight.com. Everything in the bookstore is on sale, 25% off. I have the view that most of the real UFO stuff that can't be explained, that really is something that's motorized and flying, I believe it's military stuff.
Well, some of the new jets that we've developed they look just like anyway. But but it's being used because the greater majority of the people it's been demonstrated that they're like sheep. They can be herded in whatever direction they're led.
Yeah. And we're being deceived. The deception is growing.
Yes.
Well, Doc, right here at the middle, let's just take a moment and thank our partners, those who support us and financially give donations and gifts and write checks and all the above there. We appreciate you all very much. We're just about through another year.
Amen.
And we're getting ready to send out our end of year statement, and we're going to have your giving statements, those of you that have given. We appreciate every one of you. We couldn't be here without you. And we are viewer-supported, 100%. Doc and I get no salary. Nope. And the money that comes in goes to pay the airtime, CTN Television, VTN Television, as well as Pray.com. We've been on there almost 2 months now. And Pray.com was just a temporary diversion. We weren't sure what was going to happen. We weren't sure how long we would stay on there because it's very expensive. It's just as expensive as being on CTN Television.
Yes.
And there's just no way we can pay for both of them. And so we're going to do our 2 months, and we're most likely going to be off Pray.com. We're going to stay here on CTN and VTN and YouTube and Rumble and live streams, different things like that. We're on the radio. And but Pray.com will be ending by the first week of January, I believe, somewhere in there. And unless something changes in the next few weeks,
it has to be a major change.
It could be a plane drops a box full of $100 bills on us or something.
We'll It'd be a big box.
But we appreciate it being on Pray.com, and we hope that we've got a message out, and we're hoping that many of you on Pray.com will find us on the internet. At ProfessionSpotty.com, find our YouTube channel, and you can watch us all of our shows right there. And all right, Doc. Well, let's have another one there. We got to go a little faster on some of these.
Globalism, the race for world control.
So the rise of 2023 has seen a great increase in this globalism mentality.
You're seeing the thought process of the general public becoming more accessible to acceptable. And then you're seeing, like, the World Economic Forum used to talk about the global reset financially. Well, now they changed their sign in front of their podium. The world World Economic Government. It's all about government.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they've changed it.
And when you read their writings, like the World Health Organization, I was reading their blog, and it's like they really believe that they are the hope. By the way, there's no God in it. They won't mention God.
Well, they think they're the gods.
That's right. And with AI, and this is interesting. This will be a next week show. Is what I heard Elon Musk.
And it's happening right now. And with globalism is coming the fast approaching financial change of the world.
Yeah.
I can see that this year the American dollar has gotten
20%, I believe, is what I'm hearing.
It's in great, and then with the BRICS program that has got now about 20 nations involved in that, that is causing a lot of problems. I know everybody talks about Bidenomics and all of that. I'm not sure all of that's as a credit to him, but a part of it is just the fact the global setting is moving away from the petrodollar. And so this year has made a big change in how finances are going to be conducted from here forward. Yeah.
All right. Now you got on here the apparent fulfilling of Psalm 83. Briefly, say something about that.
Everybody talks about the names that are there in Psalms 83, and of course, I'm convinced now more than ever that the nations around Israel are also the ones referred to as all of the trees in Luke chapter 21. And so what we're having is out of Gaza, and now you got the Houthis from the south, and then you got the Hezbollah from the north, and then you got the things coming out of Iran and surrogates, whatever their names will be, out of Syria. You've got all of this ring of fire around them. And I'm convinced that what you're watching in Gaza is going to spill over into what they call the West Bank. That's Judea and Samaria. That's not really West Bank, amen? And so right now you're watching the Palestinian movement rise. They're already going in and trying to ferret out some of these Hamas leaders that are over in the West Bank. And I will not be surprised if when it's over, as Psalms 83 said, so that all the world will know that Jehovah alone is God. And I can see all of these entities involved right now.
So in your opinion, Psalm 83 is closer than ever this year.
If it's not happening right now.
Yeah. Now, there's another one here that's on the list that I definitely want you to talk about because I've got this same. I've been hearing this for months now, especially in recent months.
Mm-hmm.
This thing about, I mean, they'll come on the news, CNN, MSNBC. They'll come on and talk about what's wrong, the danger of nationalism.
Oh, yes.
When did this start? It seems like all of a sudden, 2023 especially.
And any political leader that expresses nationalism is he's seen as a threat to democracy.
Yeah.
It's amazing how they come out, oh, if you elect this guy, he's going to be a threat to democracy, when they're the ones that are destroying it.
And that's why they hated Trump. One of the reasons is he was for America first.
That's right. And you're watching, like in Hungary, they have a leader in Hungary that's a nationalist.
Yeah.
He's the outcast of all of the European Union.
Tucker Carlson said that country was the most like what we used to be than any country in the world.
Absolutely.
And I'm thinking we need to move.
They have closed borders. I mean, yes. They have what you talked about in the update. They have common sense. But we are living in a time where we're watching all of the nations that have freedom like we think of and have had here. We're losing them, rapidly losing.
Now, I just don't understand the people watching the news and they hear these statements. They can't really believe this. I mean,
I don't know. I wonder if some of them's not drunk the Kool-Aid.
Imagine
for so long
your kids are starving. You can't afford medical bills, and yet across the street is all these people coming illegally across our border. They're given a $5,000 credit card. They're given everything,
and
the people of our country are suffering.
And you take veterans. Of course, I'm a veteran. And understand the importance that the veterans program has provided for me. But right now, they are using, Biden is using through the back door, the veterans facilities and medical thing for illegal aliens.
Yep.
Now that makes me as a vet and other vets, it makes our blood boil.
They said that they're using people who are supposed to be rounding up traffickers and drug people. They're using them on the border to do paperwork and stuff.
It's sad. It is sad. But the whole goal is for globalism to be able to be built on a socialistic format. And in order to do that, you got to destroy capitalism.
Yeah.
And that's probably what it's all about, Dan.
Now, and that goes along with what I'm going to say next here, something I wrote down. For the first time, well, I don't know about the first time, but I read that 2023, as of 2023, there's 8 billion people in the world, they tell us.
Mm-hmm.
They said there's more young people than any time in the history of the world.
I don't doubt it. Yes.
And the young people are buying it hook, line, and sinker.
Well, this year has demonstrated once again that the higher level of education that teaches teachers, that's going to teach in secondary and primary education. Look at the mess we have. The product.
Critical race theory.
All that's coming out of the educational system right now is destroying our nation.
Yeah, it sure is. And I don't remember who I was talking to about this, but it may have been you in the office. I don't know. But it's money that's caused this.
Oh, yeah.
See, the towns and cities and counties, they used to have their own schools and their own books.
Everything has
the government came in and offered them money to help their school.
And then they centralized, they brought all these schools under this district and all this district.
But with that money came some dogma.
Oh, yes.
With the government's money comes guidelines.
Yes.
You've got to teach evolution. Yep. You got to, and instead of getting out, they were stuck because they needed the money. They needed the government's money. The government gave them all this money. They hired teachers. They built buildings and got mortgages. And so the government says, all right, now if you want our money, you got to do this, this, and this. And many schools say, oh, we can't do that. We don't believe that. Okay, no problem. We just won't send you any more money.
We have I have a daughter that she subs because she won't take a permanent position because she wants to be in charge of when she wants to work or not. But the school system, I mean, they'll have a day and then they let the kids go back home, almost get them off the bus, turn around, take them back home so they can count them that day because of that state and government money and federal money. And the list goes on of all this. Let me tell you something, folks. We have a ministry through our museum down in Fiji Islands. And the Fiji government in Fiji wants us and has begged us, and we go and hold creation seminars because the UN is demanding that they teach evolution only because of the money. Yes.
Well, let's just look at a couple of these. Let me just read a few of these because we're out of time. But the rise in tolerance of sin around the world. Boy, isn't that the truth?
It's around the world.
And, we're financing it now. We're financing transgenderism and
that's one of the things.
Mutilation of little kids.
As I believe what Jonathan Cahn brought out in a book this year, the return of the old gods. And that's what's happening. Hmm. Transgenderism is nothing but what original false gods were.
The continued weakening of Christianity's influence and impact in the world.
We no longer have a say, folks. We don't. Because if they do, on a national or even a federal level of any kind, if they do interview somebody, quote-unquote, Christian, it is not going to be anybody that's fundamental to the Bible.
We got the rapidly declining influence of the Bible. And that's not God's fault. That's God's people's fault.
But it's not just declining out here. It's declining in influence over those that call themselves a Christian.
Yeah.
That's the great dilemma.
And I think we mentioned transgenderism already, the battle over that.
And the battle's going to come back. We'll talk about it next week.
How about
week,
this, Doc? We are just, by the time this airs, we'll probably be there, $32 trillion in debt.
We will never and can never recover.
No, that's a big shovel
there's
needed.
Only, there's probably only two ways that we'll ever come out of that. One is they load it all on top of everybody else and zero everything else. And
the great reset that's coming.
The great reset is coming.
And we'll probably hit on some of that next week.
But next
week we're going to talk about what's coming, and you're not going to want to miss that. But let's talk about what's coming in the next week or two, Doc, and that's the bill's coming due. And the bill for CTN is coming due. We pay 3 months in advance.
Yeah.
And if you can help, we need you. So
we're here at the end of the year, and maybe a businessman needs a write-off or something.
Yeah, maybe
a great place to end.
Maybe you need somewhere to get some more tax break or something. We're here. So just go to the website, prophecyandspotlight.com. You can get the phone number there, email. You can call us. You can send a check, whatever. And all right, Doc, in 30 seconds, what must I do to be saved?
The most important thing, number one, you know you're lost. You're in sin, headed to hell, nothing you can do about it. But there's a loving God that sent his son to do all that needed to be about it. And on Calvary's cross, he paid the price of our sin debt. And all you need to do is believe what the Bible said in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Very well said. Folks, thanks for watching today. Don't forget, next week, don't miss it. What's coming in 2024? We'll see you then. But until then, keep your eyes on them skies.